Here we go. We're on. Okay, today is the monthly meeting for the Knox Elementary School District. All board members, all administrators, Ms. Mott and Ms. Morgan present. Today is December 3rd, 2019 at 5:16 p.m. Item 1A and call to order in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Got back in there. Okay, item 1A, on to B, adoption of the agenda. I'd like to move to adopt the agenda for the meeting on December 3rd.
I'll second that.
Mr. Rommel seconds. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item 2, call to the public. Y'all have nothing, huh? Okay. No one present for call to the public. Item 3, entering into the consent agenda. Item A, approval of the minutes. The regular board meeting of November 5th, that should be 15th.
It is the 15th. I put this month on my one. I start taking this, I take this is the 15th, that's the 15th.
Okay, so there's just a little, without the one on the agenda, but that would be November 15th, 2019. If I can get a second.
We have one point, please, to correct before we make the move, and we'll have to go back and amend it.
Oh, are you talking about B?
I added it to C, but we can add it to B. It's with the presentation of financial report and the approval of the November vouchers, we need to approve an RFP seeking audit services for the 2018-2019 fiscal year through the 2022-2023 fiscal year. And the reason we will have to do that is because the auditor you have used for many years is now our consultant to get us through this cap with the Auditor General and all of the issues with the IRS. They cannot serve as a consultant and audit. That would be a conflict of interest on their part.
Okay, so we're just going to leave it as is with the to adding in the RFP for the school year 2022-23. Okay, everybody, we have that. All right, so can I get a motion to approve that with the change? It's from Heinfeld and Meach. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't in there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I just called about it today because I noticed it.
It wasn't in this meeting?
No, it's
not. It is this meeting now. Yeah.
Okay.
Also, okay.
So we want to add it to this meeting?
Yes, we're just going to, it's just a little addition. To that particular item.
Was it ever talked about in this meeting?
No. We're going to, yes.
On the 5th?
On the November 15th one?
No.
We're talking about today's meeting.
Oh, okay.
So we're just adding it to today's
agenda. Adding it to today's
agenda. Right. It would be a BC item pertaining to the RFP.
Okay.
And that's per Karen from Heinfeld, and it's a cost proposal.
And it wasn't on this agenda for today. I think that if we're going to do that, it needs to be a special meeting, and we need to announce it 24 hours prior to the public.
Well, see, it's in here. It's just that...
It is in here?
Well, it's about the same financial report.
Okay.
And it's a part of the financial report. It's just that it wasn't clear about the RFP.
Okay.
So,
let's
clarify with Tim, huh?
Okay.
Tim, Mr. Almost was thinking we should wait and handle this next, but it's just it's dealing with the I talked to him about it before because I had a question about that pertaining to the financial report and the vouchers. This is just more clarifying that
That's
item.
A specific point in there that really isn't a voucher, or I mean it's a voucher, but we're not specifically purchasing anything yet.
It's a clarification.
The reason we have to get it in this month, and I mean we could not do it and then do a special meeting on Friday, but we need to do it so we get it advertised. We have to advertise for so many days, and then we have to turn around and approve an auditor, and the goal is to get that auditor in about the end of February.
But again, this is still pertaining to that item. It's just clarification.
That, yeah, it's for that in your packet.
Right.
I just forgot to. We put the RFPs in.
Yeah, it's in the very
right.
Packet.
Right.
So we're just clarifying.
Yes. I just wanted to make sure it was on there because in the board minutes, we shouldn't have that stated, and I didn't type it in. I just totally forgot. So I apologize. But I knew it was in Donna's stuff. And
so you guys okay with that, or you want.
Yeah.
Okay. And the thing is, it's already pertaining to that same item. It's just more clarification per Heinfield and Meech and that same item. And when we're doing the financial report and the vouchers, this is going to come up. It's just clarifying it before we get going on that.
And it's part of the procurement process that we really need to do every time we're going to make any kind of a major purchase.
Okay.
We need to put this together and put it out.
Are we okay?
No, you want to make a motion?
Okay. I'm just asking if we can get a motion to approve with the addition of that, clarifying the language for the RFP.
Yes, sure. I'll make that motion.
Okay. Ms. Ramos motions makes a second. Ayes?
Aye.
I'm making a second to your motion.
No, you
made the motion.
I made the motion.
You made the motion. I'll second.
Okay.
Aye.
Sorry. I'm seconding. Ayes 3, yay. Okay. So this time we're going to go ahead and move into the consent agenda. We've adopted the agenda and we did the call the public. So we're moving into, we're approving the minutes with that. And we're moving on to B with the financial report. Ms. Donna?
The financial report is received in your package for the month of November. There were four expense vouchers and three payroll vouchers this last month. We are hitting $1.6 million of expenses in November, which is pretty much right on track with our expenses in prior years.
Go right into the vouchers. Next point, if there's any questions on the vouchers. The expenses are pretty lengthy, but I had a chance to go through them prior. And again, no surprises, our typical expenses.
For each month, they run about the same amount. I mean, as you see on the first page, the payroll is all pretty much in the mid to high 50,000. And vouchers, the only one that's large is the voucher 215, and that has a medical payment into it.
Medical payment, meaning the insurance?
Yes, the health insurance. And that's about 3,000. So take that out. That's in top of will be the other three vouchers that month.
After I went through these, I didn't really have any questions pertaining to any of these myself, but you guys just make sure you don't say anything that you want to discuss. Usually I mark them if I have something. So. Thank you.
What is window envelopes?
This is what we mail out our stuff in the window envelopes.
So, you guys, last time we went, I did the approval of the consent agenda all in one big package. But since everybody broke it down on those first two, we're going to go ahead and proceed like that, if you don't mind. Is that all right? Okay, so do you have any questions or discussion pertaining to the approval of the November vouchers?
No.
Okay, without anything further, I'd like to move to approve item C on the consent agenda.
I'll second that.
Mr. Elmo seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye.
I think we should go back to A and also do the same thing.
See, the only thing we really did individually was we added that clarification and you made an amendment to the first one.
Because we didn't approve the minutes, huh?
Right. Because when we went with the approval, we still haven't approved the minutes. I mean, so.
Right, because I made the statement about the date, but we didn't really approve it. So let me, okay, say almost second on C, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Walker made motion, and then so do you want to go with the?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve item A, the approval of the minutes.
I'll second that.
Second.
Let's say Mr. Olmos motions, and Romero and Walker second. Ayes.
Aye.
Moving on to, we got our vouchers. Moving on to D, approval of use of fund 465 early literacy program funds to cover a portion of two of the K-12 teacher salaries. Shari?
Shari, yeah.
K-2 teachers.
K-2 teacher salaries for Ms. Pochlar and Ms. Mott and the purchase of Learning A to Z software program. Total spent will be $40,930.
Yeah, we basically this is just, we need to just have it out there what we're spending the money on and when we spend those funds. Last year you had, the school didn't spend the money so we had to carry over. And that's how generally you would put it as a new teachers and things like that, wherever you're going to break it down. Since we didn't spend it last year, Ms. Mock was new back in the kindergarten last year. But since we didn't spend it, we can include that, any type where we broke the classes down to make smaller class sizes to improve literacy. So we did that with Ms. Poplar, and you did that last year with Ms. Mock, so we can use her this year. It's not a reusing of somebody that was already there for many years or whatever. So we did that, and then we just purchased one Learning A to Z software. We had one teacher request that, so she got that. And the total of all of that comes to $40,930.
Now, is Rhodes and Mott still using the same curriculum? Or so I know that Rhodes, we did, I think, Journey or something like that?
I don't know. I'm not honestly sure. I know from first grade on up, they're all using Journey.
Okay. All right. I don't know if you guys are aware, but any type of program. I mean, we've got bought science books, and they were, you have no idea how expensive they are. So $40,000 sounds like a lot, but it's unavoidable.
Well, and that Learning A to Z was, I think it was $125 or something. It wasn't very much. It's a program. Actually, we bought it for Ms. Moss' kindergarten group, and it's a program that she's used through the years and works well, especially with her class. She feels very comfortable because that class has an exceptional amount of students struggling with the English language and learning to read and things. So it's got visuals and things like that with it. But She really likes that. We sent out actually a short-term membership to all the elementary teachers, and I know a couple of them have gone on and looked at it. So it's not an overly expensive program, but it's something that, you know, if everybody decides that they like something like that, we can use it as a supplemental thing. It really depends on what you're doing as a teacher and the class makeup that you have, especially with the kindergarten crew. I've been in both of those classes quite a bit. I mean, we've made some huge, you wouldn't know from, if you'd gone in day one to today, you'd be shocked. They've come a long way. I mean, they just have a...
It's tough, the kindergartners, for them.
Well, you know, I think right now between the two classes, we probably only have one kid that just really doesn't speak any English or very, very little. So it's getting better.
And to tell you the truth, that's not unusual. Because I know when my daughter came, there were 40 kids and only two spoke any English at all.
So. Yeah, that's kind of how we were starting to do.
Yeah.
So how much will go to the program?
What now?
How much money will go to the program?
To that program, it was $125.
Okay.
The nice thing about that program, in all honesty, we can purchase it for one teacher, but if somebody else had something, they could always ask the teacher to go and grab a lesson for them or something, and we could do it. It's, you know, probably shouldn't. But.
And then the rest would go to the both teachers?
Yep. Yes.
That's what will be paid out. Instead of them at all, we'll be paid out
up front. Right.
My pen's dying.
There are a lot less strings attached to the M&O money, so you're able to use that for other things. This has strings tied to it. You have to either use it for teachers or programs, and only so much, if I remember right, such a percentage can be used for programming, such a percentage can be used for teachers. So we try to make sure we used up the money that has the red tape attached to it, because that's the harder money to spend, and that's kind of why today there was quite a bit of money, $20,000, do you want to say $23,000 or $25,000, sitting in there from last year, yet there wasn't used.
It's only for kinder classes? Or is it
K1,
for
K2.
K2. That so. Program can be used for K1-2.
Okay.
The program that we purchased for a kindergarten teacher, mm-hmm. but that A to Z learning actually goes all the way up through 5th or 6th grade.
It actually can go higher than that, because if you look at the books, it gives you the alphabet, and it's like AA all the way up to ZZ.
This is simply a K through 2.
Yeah, but it can be used for older children, and it also has, like, for K2, they have the foundational skills, and then for the older kids, you can go in and pick books, and you can print the books out, and they'll come with lessons and different things like that. I've used this one for a long time.
It falls right into it. The nice thing is it does fall into that literacy category. So we were able to not spend $125 out of our fund for, you know, other supplies, and we were able to put it out of this fund. So that's why we did that. And we still have, I want to say there's, I don't remember, 15 or 20,000 left.
Not out of this one so much as it is out of the other. Well, we've got some of this one, but the 020 has more.
Okay. So, I mean, I know we got one of them close, and one of them we had a little bit more money left in it, but if we don't have it and we can't easily tag it, then we're going to let it sit and we can use it again. You can use it again next year for the same type of thing. And it just defrays money, so you don't have to spend all of that money out of your M&O.
Any further discussion? You said you want to make a motion pertaining to D, please?
Sure. I motion to approve the funds of 465 early literacy program for portion 2 for K-2 teachers.
I'll second it.
Almost seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Aye. Moving on to F. Oh, sorry. Moving on to E, approval of the use of fund 020, Instructional Improvement Fund. These funds are to cover a portion of the three teacher salaries and benefits. Ms. Parchlar, am I saying that right?
Pachlar.
Okay,
I
as well.
Anyway, that's how I've always
it's
said
it. It's easier to just to say Ms. Chari.
Chari. Chari or Chari?
Chari.
Chari. Charlie Bill, if you want to.
See, I always thought it was Charlie when you guys were saying that. I didn't know. Okay, so to cover as well as $650 per licensed teacher payment on December 13th from Indian gaming monies given to the district. Total expended will be approximately $25,983 and will also cover added benefits and retirement amounts. So,
what is?
That's good. The Indian gaming is being applied.
Gaming money, and there are certain things we can spend it on. One of the things that we can spend so much of that money on is reducing classroom size or adding teachers. That's where we put half of Chari's. I think it's about half of Chari's salary into that, along with her half of her benefits. Okay, and then the rest of it is the Indian gaming money that goes to the teachers. And in order to make it so that it's a little cleaner, what we did was we took all of the benefit money that we have to pay, along with retirement and everything, along with the money they get, and we added it all together, and that's the amount of $25,983. And I think we were within like $117 of what we get to spend. So, and then that money will just sit in there, and it will roll over until we get more money in that account for, you know, and again, that there are just a few uses for that money. Generally speaking, most of the schools have a payout to teachers usually before Christmas and then another one towards the end of the year as that fund money trickles in.
One question is, how are we getting to just this teacher? Is there other teachers that can qualify for?
Because in that K, the early literacy program again, that K through 2 level, we had one new teacher this year. And since you hadn't used Ms. Mott, we could use her in the other one for part of her salary. But since Chari was the new teacher and we split that class, it met both C and D's stipulations.
So the other teachers won't qualify?
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
We had to find a way that we were showing that we were doing something that should help improve the reading skills of the kids that you did not do last year with that program.
Okay.
Anything further? A motion?
Yeah, I would like to make a motion to approve Fund 020, Instructional Improvement Fund.
I'll second. Oh, go ahead.
Please second the motion?
Aye.
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 3 ayes, the motion carries. Okay, item F. Approval of use of Fund 011, Proposition 301 Performance Pay Plan. This will come as the first of three payments under the plan approved in October and amended in November. It will be the amount of approximately $390 per licensed teacher payment on December 13th. The total expended will be approximately $8,415. It will also cover added benefits and retirement amounts.
And that's that 301 plan that you approved, that first payment goes out in December. The teachers will get a double whammy or double benefit, depends on how you look at it. But both of those payments that we just talked about, E and F, will both go out on the Indian gaming, not Chari's whole salary, but the Indian gaming part of that.
That's good. Yeah. Utilize that.
We'll all go out on the December 13th pay period, which will mean each person will get about an added $1,000. It comes out about $1,000 on their paycheck, which there'll be some tax ramifications, a little higher tax taken out, but not so significant. I mean, the teachers do have the opportunity to go in and fill out another W-2 and go through all that. And honestly, with all the extra work, you just put more tax money in, so there should be more tax money to get back. So six of one, half a dozen of the other, but I just... Only thing I worry about is every time they come in, if they want to do that, then, and they do have the option, and we have told them, but, you know, that just makes more work, and it's one more time that you can make a mistake when you're going into that program and changing things. So, if we can stay away from that, that would be great.
Well, just saying, my mom and my aunt, they go to Alpine, they make their donation to the Indian Gaming, too.
Yeah.
Just saying. Without anything, we have any discussion?
No.
The only thing further, I'd like to make a motion for item F pertaining to the Fund 011 Proposition 301 Performance Plan.
Second the motion.
Reese seconds. Aye.
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 Item G, approval of the 2019-2020 winter coaches, Mr. Page for baseball and Mrs. Franco for girls basketball.
I did have one question.
Sure.
Why is one lesser than the other?
I was wondering that.
Just by the number of years that they coached. Every year they coach, they get an extra $100.
And has any of us never really coached, right? Or
I don't believe so. Yeah. And
I don't think she did last year.
Even if you have a break in service, then you have to go back and figure it out. Usually, if you have a break in service, you go back and give them years of experience.
But I think Mr. Page has done it for quite a few years now, too.
Yeah. Baseball, he has. He took a break from softball for, I don't know. He maybe did it last year, but it was a question whether he was going to do it again, and he decided to do it again this fall. So, this is her first year doing it, so.
Okay.
I think she's helped a little bit.
It's in her blood, but still.
It's like more as a volunteer type thing.
Yeah. Okay, great. That's going to be getting somebody new on board to carry the torch, you know, mm-hmm. since a lot of people are going to be retiring at some point. So, do you guys have anything further?
No.
Okay, anybody want to make a motion?
A motion to approve the 2019-2020 winter coaches, Mr. Page and Mrs. Frankel.
I'll second that motion.
Pius?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, item H, approve the school library book fundraiser, fair fundraiser project. We need to do this as a fundraiser, even though our goal is to use the credits with Scholastic Book Fair to accumulate enough books to give them to our students.
Our plan with this, when Jewel and I sat down, I think it was in July, and I talked to her about a book fair, and then she was excited because we haven't done a book fair here for a long time, I don't know how many years, was what we talked about is our goal was in February, for I Love to Read Month, was try to get enough money so we could use the money and the credits from the Scholastic to buy every kid in school a book, which is 320 books. So that's our goal. But as Donna pointed out to me before I put this on the agenda, it's still a fundraiser and we just need to approve it because we're bringing funds into the district. So I know we had talked about it. I mentioned it to you in my report, but I just wanted it on the record so that we've approved it. And that's what the funds will go towards. Today was a day where they were going to come in and I thought only fill out their I want slips or I wish for slips, but they had almost $400 in sales today.
Oh, wow.
And they weren't planning on really selling anything.
And we've done this Scholastic Book Fair for a lot of years, right?
Yeah. They did it for a long time, and then mm-hmm. it's kind of been, I don't know.
No, not for the last
time. I think it quit probably 10 years ago.
It was not long ago.
Did it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
She just said it had been at least 6 or 7 years since they did it. She wasn't exactly sure.
Wow.
So it's, I mean, it's a heck of a setup. You can go through there tonight and I'll show you the, you know, they've got it set up very nice.
Nope.
Well, reading's important, so that's great. Either one of you want to make a motion for H?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve the school library book fair fundraiser project.
Second that motion?
Aye.
Mayor seconds? Aye.
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 Probably a good thing we did these individually now, looking back. Okay, item I. We had a few people help with mini classroom projects like bulletin boards, clearing off the walls of old projects, reorganizing, repacking papers from the business office from broken boxes that will not protect them anymore, and they are starting to fall out of the boxes now, which will become a bigger problem. So we're going to repack in 30 bins to protect, and the bins are also reusable. And I know that last year when Mr. Morrell and I were trying to find some of this missing stuff, you know, from the policies and stuff, that in that little room off the comms room, it was like a disaster. It was like a bomb went off in there.
Well, so if you went out to the storage shed that we're trying to organize and clean up and basically just protect everything so that we get to the 4 or 7 year period that we have to keep the different records. My biggest concern is they're in paper boxes, and those big paper boxes that you store documents in, they're okay if you only stack 2 or maybe 3 on them. But when you got them stacked 8 high, the bottom ones just, and so that's where we were at out there. So if we would have got water coming in, and not only would have got the boxes wet, but if it would have run down the sides, the bottom three or four rows of boxes were all smashed.
And once they get old, they just crumble anyway.
Right, and so we went and got some heavy-duty bins, some of those really big rubber bins, and we're putting 2 years of like documents, so like 2 years of vouchers, 2 years of payroll, labeling the outside, so we keep it all together, stacking one year on the bottom and one year on the top. And Victor did that for 2 days over break, and Maritza helped him for 1 day. And we actually have taken, compressed that room, as well as pulling out the added supplies and different things he brought out so the teachers could see what we had again. And if they want it, we can get it out of there. We should even be able to get all of our extra desks in that storage shed when, as soon as we get done. We're almost done with it. And then we know the documents are protected, and hopefully we can get all the desks out so we get a little extra breakout room for our specialty people that come in and our parents to take kids in there. And then, you know, it'll be good. And I think those bins are, they're going to last for quite a while. Some of them were rubber made, and I don't remember the hard plastic one, but I couldn't get enough hard plastic ones that you could see through, so I had to get some of the dark, heavy-duty rubber baits, but they should last for quite a few years, so.
Admirable challenge for you to overtake, for sure.
Yeah.
So, in addition to your other tasks.
Victor pulled it all out. I just went out there
really?
And said, yep, let's do it this way, let's do it that way. You give him direction, he's really a good worker.
That's good. Do you have any discussion?
What are we trying to accomplish in this item?
We're just approving that.
This is basically letting you know that they that was
that more information type.
Well, then we have to purchase the things. So that'll also be part of the vouchers at some point.
I purchased the bins, and then also letting you know some of the jobs that that we did
accomplish,
because we're going to talk about those people on an action item that you. I'm going to ask you to approve their pay for those couple of days over vacation break.
What are we motioning?
Just approving the fact that we're successfully accomplishing. Do I need to make a motion?
Sure.
pertaining to item I, I'd like to move that we approve the tasks that they've been overtaking, since I know that it's been done and done for the last couple of years, and approving the purchase of whatever items they need to make that happen.
Second the motion.
Lisa seconds. Aye.
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 Item J. We will need to approve Yariela Broquez for the job pay grade of substitute for office help, and the same pay grade is currently at $13.94 per hour. When Miss Elias is absent or on vacation, we need someone to fill in a substitute for us, and generally use Miss Borquez. We also need to approve Victor Valdez at his current rate of pay at $12.40 per hour to do substitute custodial and office help work. Victor also someday fills in for Miss Elias if we have a bus driver that needs to be done by Miss Borquez. And so the question, I mean, of course, and I know you and I kind of discussed this before, but so I know that Victor, on a regular basis, I see him assisting his dad doing custodial work. And so he's still going to be at the current rate of $12.40 regardless.
Right. And the key and the reason that I phrase it, when he helps his dad, it's generally with maintenance stuff, but
it's voluntary.
Yeah. But the thing with this item is that we have, when we have Ms. Borquez filling in the office, we have to have something else on a pay grade, and then to make it a less cumbersome and a pain in the butt, if we leave the pay grade the same, but we have to list it on her payroll in Visions, and that otherwise we're paying her out of special ed and she's working in the office, and that's the we could get into a lot of trouble doing that.
Right.
So I want to make sure we're doing everything correctly. So we'll do that. And then the other thing with Victor, there are days when he has to sit in or maybe fill in for an hour or an hour and a half when Yariela will take the bus because Evan is driving a team somewhere. And so when that happens, then the domino effect occurs and then Victor fills in. We need to have someone at the desk that can speak Spanish and English because... Yeah, it seems 90% of the time when I answer, I have to say no hablo.
No comprendo.
I only speak English, so we have some interesting conversations then. But
there's no pay, there's no altering
the
cost or anything.
That's their pay.
It's just clarifying
their
role.
So if we're taking them from their job and having them substitute, it's not a pay raise, it's just straight across, that's what we're going to pay, that's what we're paying them.
Right.
I don't want...
A necessity.
It's not fair if we gave them less pay,
right.
You know, because we're taking them away from the job that they're supposed to have to do this, and we don't want to reward, and so they want to be pulled away from their job either. Mm-hmm. It's just, so it's on a flat, you're working 7 hours a day, and that's your pay, and you're working 7 hours a day.
Okay.
So it's pretty much just adding...
Exactly. It's just giving us the flexibility so when they go into visions and they see that, okay, you paid him and you paid him as an office worker that day, he's an office worker substitute.
Okay.
So is she.
It's just clarifying.
As long as we have it that way, we're okay. But the problem is that we had Victor in for like assistant office worker. We don't have a job description for an assistant office worker. So what we can do is put down substitute and we're okay.
And he's subbing in any variety of ways.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
And an assistant office worker who should be someone working in the office assisting all the time.
Right.
You know, I mean...
So if he's doing another job, is he going to be double dipping?
No, he won't get paid for both jobs. He'll just get paid for the 7 hours he works. Mm-hmm. He'll get paid at his rate of pay. That's it.
In a small school, the kind of people have to float around a lot to cover bases.
We just have to... You know, we're kind of like that little guy putting his finger in the dike sometimes.
Right.
We just have to all work through different hats.
Is the school district going to run into problems? Because let me use my job, for example.
Okay.
If I go and start doing something that is not in my job description, I can go to the... And my supervisors are making me do it. I can go to the union and file a grievance for that.
That's why we worded it just this way, substitute... And those two positions for him substitute in the one position for Yariella. Because otherwise, you're exactly right.
But therefore, he's still agreeing to these conditions,
right.
Knowingly.
And in all honesty, most of the time, if Victor sees, like, I'm going to use Victor for example. If Victor sees something that needs to be done, he'll come and ask, if I have 20 minutes here, can I go do this? Whether it's move desks or get books for somebody or, you know, because people will ask him because they know he knows where everything is in that back shed where we've got everything stored. So this is a good clarification for us and it puts us on legal footing. I mean, we don't have to come up with another job code for him, but otherwise you're exactly right, Mr. Olmos. We'd have to have a job code that would fit that, and that's where that office assistant, which he was placed under, and I don't know how long he's been on his pay, but... Cheryl from Visions found it, and that was one of the things, one of our findings we found when we did our own self-audit, was that Victor had a pay rate in Visions for a job that he only substitutes at once in a while. And so you shouldn't have a pay rate in there, and then we don't have a job description.
He had that last year, you mean?
I don't know how long it's been in there. It could have been in there for 3 or 4 years.
And another thing, too. Like let's say use Victor for example.
Okay.
It's a substitute custodial and office help work. So I'm assuming say somebody calls in sick, a custodian calls in sick, he's gonna be doing the job of a custodian.
Right, exactly. He could be.
So there's a potential for misuse there. Let's say somebody, a custodian, doesn't want to work a day, so a custodian's gonna call in sick because he knows that Victor's going to go ahead and substitute as a custodian.
Well, see, here's the other thing. Is last year, Mr. Morado, he hired his dad. And all of last year, Victor was assisting his dad the entire year and helping him with his job. And that went on all year long.
That's not right.
It's not right,
because
they did it last
year. We have an employee that's getting paid good amount of money to do the job, and then here we have somebody else that's going to be doing the job.
But he did it all year, and I saw him.
So you understand why I put down substitute custodian. Victor doesn't substitute custodian. Actually, Dolores, who works part-time in the kitchen, has been helping us as our substitute custodian when we use her. You know, or me or whoever else doesn't have anything to do for a while, and we try to get things done. But in the summertime, he was filling in when people were on vacation. So in order for us to be legit, that's why I have that there. We're not, I don't think this year Victor's filled in one time as a substitute custodian. Like Dolores has been the only one that's filled in for us. And then one day we had two custodians gone, so then I had Ramon fill in from maintenance to do cleaning and help with lunchroom. But in the summertime, Victor has filled in whenever people go on vacation, he fills in. And so if he fills in, we can call him a substitute and we're okay. But if we don't put that down, now we're having him do a different job and we're paying him, and we shouldn't be. You know what I mean? So I'm just trying to make sure we're legal.
Are these two employees okay with that?
I talked to both of them so that they... I talked to everybody that was on this list. Okay, well, Ms. Mott talked to me, but everybody else I went and talked to. You know, but they saw... They knew their names were on there and why they were on there, but I went through with each one of them why their names were on there, and some of them are on there like three times. And I just made sure they understood why they were on there, why we have to explain their job codes, and why it needs to be documented in the minutes.
And they're okay with doing a job that's not their job?
They're okay with substituting.
Ramon was new last year, and Victor was already here. And then I can't go into the complaint, but let's just say that this is all of last year. It was a regular thing last year, and not a word was said about it.
Yeah, and I actually talked to every one of these employees that I talked to, so they knew that if I said their name or whatever, I would be bringing it up. So, like with Victor and Ariella, and I went through it because they're on here two or three times.
And this is just a temporary, when need be, basis.
And it's to make us legal. Because to put them in a position that says, like, custodial wouldn't make any sense, because he really, when we get to number
really
three,
is a
number
paraprofessional.
Four on the bottom,
right.
It was $700 or $800 he made as substitute custodian during the summer. So, I mean, that's what he made doing that. Definitely not a full-time thing, but he filled in like 3 or 4 weeks for people when we had people gone on vacations.
Yeah. I don't think it's right, because we have somebody that's, let's say we have somebody that's doing a job and he's getting paid so much money, but then here comes another person that's going to be doing the same job for less pay.
Well, he's making the same pay.
I don't know how much they're making. So I'm just
tell me what you think would be a good resolution. I'm curious.
I mean, I didn't get into the individuals and any others. I'm just dealing with the ones that we paid. And the reason I did this is because when we approve it later on, it needs to show how much they made, and we'll break it down for each of them that made were paid over the summer, which we have to clean that up. But that's it's just we either, you know, I mean. We can put it down as a substitute. We're not having him substitute and go in and work with somebody to do their job. But in the summer, when one of my three custodians is gone, and he comes in and helps them do the floors or do the kitchen or whatever, he works that week for that custodian.
Which he did for summer school.
Each of the custodians take at least a week, and some take 2 weeks. You know, and so we have to have, otherwise, we don't get it done. You know, I mean, we were right up against the wall this year.
We're talking about technicalities. Tell me what you think about a resolution, though, Mr. Elmo, because I'm curious what you think.
So I think a solution to this would be make it not on the teachers, but the employees that you have, you classify as classified employees? Right?
Yes.
Add in their job description something along the lines of other duties as assigned.
That's where you're going.
That's what he's trying to do.
But do it for everybody, not just
right.
Two.
Sometimes
it will
say
now,
all other duties as assigned.
Right. We can't go in, and there are a couple of things I'd like to add to the contracts for next year. We'll talk about that probably more in February or March. But to make us legal right now, this will make us legal right now until we can fix that. But you're right. Other duties as assigned, just like in my contract.
And technically, we're going to start modifying contracts.
This is because they're already doing this, but we're trying, or they've done
they
it in the past.
They did it already.
They
that's
did it already. So
that's
we're
I'm trying to retroactively
to
make us legal. That's okay. What I'm trying to do right now.
And it's a temporary fix for
temporary
something that's been done for a long time already.
Issue. And We do need, that's one of the two things that I would like to add to the contract for the classified is what Mr. Almost just said.
This is just mostly just to protect us because they have been doing it in the past, but they're in no, but in their contract we really don't have it listed like that.
At the meeting we went to on November 13th, there are some schools that are in legal trouble right now for things that they did when they didn't do this for the last up to 5 years back. So that's why we're cleaning up this year. So we're going to be clean from June through today. Okay. Take care of the one personnel thing from last year. But then we've got to start going back and finding any other seasonal help that we've hired, anybody that wasn't an individual contractor.
Yeah.
And then we'll bring it back to you, just like each one of these, and we'll need to approve it. And whether we like what they were paid or don't like what they were paid, it really doesn't matter as far as we're going to have to. Because if we don't approve it, then we're sitting there, and then they can come back and tap.
Well, see, I think last year is a perfect example of, because our audits are random audits. And so sometimes things will go unnoticed for years and years. And then last year there was a little tiny red flag that happened with administration that made them look further into other things that made it kind of blow up in our faces. But I think that this is something that has been going, we've been doing forever. It's
yeah,
true.
And keep in mind, every time we do an audit, it's a year behind.
Right.
So, like, this year's audit is all about last year.
Right.
And next year's audit will be about
which is really scary.
So, really, our meetings with the Auditor General that I've had over the phone, the emphasis by them is get it corrected now, and then let's fix everything that was done wrong before. So, we're trying to fix everything for this fiscal year, and then go back and make sure we've corrected everything from the past that was not right. So that's all this is. It's really, I think, to maybe put it in different words than Mr. Almost did, but it's putting a Band-Aid over something, but we need a fix.
It's a temporary fix for now.
But this will be the temporary patch
right.
to get us to
the end of the year.
And we do need to make some adjustments to the contracts.
My only fear would be that as soon as some employees will look at this and say, oh, well, so-and-so is going to cover down for me, so I can just call in sick and not come in.
Well, see, there's some other things that are going on here that I really can't discuss because of some personnel issues that occurred last year that really could create problems with our audit this year. But that, again, doesn't have to do anything with the administration now. And
no.
So
we
have yet to see
that. I do understand what Mr. Almost is saying. I think I can say this very honestly. I think that the people that are going to call in sick if they see that they have somebody listed as a substitute custodian are going to call in sick anyway.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
And
at least you have the paperwork to
deal
cover
with it. Okay, I mean, that's all I can say.
And then eventually the employees here are going to get fed up. And
well, and that's exactly why we had to do some things. So
see, and if it makes you feel any better, this particular employee all of last year was doing somebody else's job without any of this covering our butt at all. And
well,
so
yeah, and I can't speak to that.
I'm just saying we dodged the bullet.
Just saying right now, if we approve this, we're covered from June or the end of May last year moving forward. I very confidently say that will be true. But it's not a permanent fix, and I do agree with Mr. Almost that we have to make a couple of adjustments to the contracts. But one of the other contract fixes that I think we need to make is we need to make sure that we're offering contracts in a timely manner this year. Get ahead of the game so we don't have people hanging, because that's very difficult. And it put us in a situation where we had like four fills last year. So we want to make sure our people know we want you back, if we want them back, and get them a contract by April. And that's my goal. I mean, I've been able to do it at every place we've been, and it works out. And if people aren't going to get asked back, they'll know. And then they can start looking in April also, and that's a freedom for them. And I think if we can do that, that swings the pendulum back and forth and it evens it out. I think they would appreciate it a lot. I know that was one of the comments a few staff made to me was they just wanted to make sure they had a job you know, and
well, and Mr. Macklin, I have to say that what happened last year, towards the end of the year, was I'd never seen anything like that. And there, every probably half the staff that we still had made threats that they were not coming back. They did, but the whole time they were intimidating the board, saying that they were not. And so it was an environment that I'd never experienced before or since, thank goodness. So I just hope that that doesn't happen again. So do you guys feel comfortable in making a decision on this right now? I do. Because I think it's going to cover us
for
now.
Yeah, just to cover us for right now. Right. Like he says, it's going to be like a Band-Aid.
I think
he's doing a lot,
trying to clean up from last year. So this will just free him up where he's not going to have to worry about this.
Especially if it's already brought it up, if it's been brought up to us already.
Mm-hmm. Right. And again, you know, I could probably clarify some of this, but I can't really say anything because of personnel issues. And so to me, it's more clear as to the necessity here. And so, but this will free him up to get us through the end of the year because he's doing a lot of swamping and cleaning up as it is anyway. So.
But I also agree with Mr. Olmos where he says that maybe we should add that to the contract.
We do. Mm-hmm. We need to. Right. There's two things. I have two things that I want to add, and I just thought we'd wait until February until we started talking.
Well, see, right
about
now it's really hard to add on to contracts because we've already done the contracts.
No, but for
I'm
next
just saying.
Year.
Yeah. Right now it's or better for us to do this than try to alter a bunch of contracts now.
And then when you offer that contract, they have the option to say, no, I don't want that. But, to put on their aura duties or duties as assigned, I mean,
it does. You can do that all
down to a trust issue also at that point. They have to trust me.
Right.
To trust you, that we're not going to say, you know, say Ms. Morgan's a classified employee. Okay, Ms. Morgan, today we want you to go out and move those huge boulders on the other side of the baseball field
and drive
the
bus
from left field to center.
It's got to be reasonable.
Exactly.
I think next year
it can't be somebody completely out of their job description.
Right.
It's like me. We're gonna have you go. I don't know. Mow the lawn somewhere.
You know?
Yeah.
Here's
you can do
that.
Come on.
Yeah.
You can do
as long as you give me a nice ride, or I'll do it. I, you know what the heck? Yeah. I'm a water rider. No, I think too, though, like I said, I think that once they get to know me, and then we've had a year of working through some things, I think that trust is a big thing with that statement on a contract.
Yeah.
It really is.
So we ready to roll? Okay, I'd like to make a motion to approve item J. To get us through to the end of the year.
I second that motion.
Romero seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
Nay.
Aye.
Nay.
Okay, so two ayes, one nay. All righty. All right, so that concludes the consent agenda. Item four, the action items. Item eight, presentation, discussion, and possible action to allow for the formation of a chess club at Knock Elementary School. We have a couple possible supervisors and also a donor who has said she will be willing to earmark her donation for the purchase of chess boards and equipment if it's needed. There's some other funding possibilities as well if we gain approval. This request was brought by some of the fifth grade class, and we also have some chess players in the middle school strategy class, which is an elective class. We used to have chess whenever I went to grade school in Bisbee, and I think it's really great as far as their skills and I think their self-esteem. You know, it's quite a challenge.
We've been having some of the fifth graders. One of the kids brings his. He's got a really nice chess board. He brings it. He'll sit down, and there'll be like 10 kids around him.
Really?
You know? So, this is one where, the supervision would be voluntary and just be basically to give the kids one or two nights a week where they could get together and we would have a room, maybe the community room or whatever, where they could, depending upon how many show up, play chess. It is good thinking skills and all that kind of stuff. So.
But everything would be voluntary?
There are no cost to us. Student council could possibly buy some boards for it. Ms. Thomas told me.
You probably get them donations.
What they have for money, and one of our people who is making their $400 or $200 donation, I should say, said that they would put it to the chess club if we needed to purchase chess boards and things too. So,
this is in their free time.
Yeah. So we have some money there, and there are there are definitely, I know in the fifth grade for sure, and there are some kids that almost every day in that strategy class play chess. So I think we might have more people than you think that would be interested.
And Julia is good for their brain.
Yeah,
yes, for sure. Okay. I don't see anything other than positive.
One teacher a few years back did chess as his elective class.
Oh.
Extremely popular. The kids were fighting to get into that elective, you know, to where they had to cut it off.
Wow.
Which surprised me is like, chess? Really?
Really?
You have to.
That's great.
Give me a good game of chess.
Yeah. I know. Do we have any questions or discussion?
No.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the chess club for Knopf Elementary.
I'll second it.
Second by Almost. Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Item B, presentation, discussion, possible vote on second reading of proposed policy changes recommended by Candace Pardee and ASBA policy GCCG is not one that we have found was adopted by the Knopf Elementary School District, and with volunteer leave transfer, there has been a slight adjustment to this policy as first presented, and that we have changed the term superintendent to committee, and we have also defined the committee to its membership. When presented verbally, I informed the board that I preferred not to be the lone decision maker as the sick leave days donated came from employees. I preferred to form a committee to help with any situation that would arise. I have defined the committee. And so you have your committees set up.
The members, as far as elementary from this level, elementary from that level, middle school, custodial, all that kind of, I think it's in there. I don't remember how it was broke down. But it should be the very last paper, I think, or thing in your packet.
The one that's stapled.
Yeah, and did you get in your packet?
Uh-huh, there it is. And this is our second reading.
Right, it is the second reading, but I corrected it. So I'm leaving it up to you. I mean, it's not something that we would absolutely have to approved tonight if you feel that the changes are significant.
We're pretty much
enough.
You're just doing clarification.
Right. The changes that I made are what I presented, but not what was in the policy when you got it.
And
so
this is the language here, this kind of in, not italics, but direct donation of sick leave. And so,
yes.
And this has been approved by Candy Pardee, though.
That's
and she helps
Candy,
with the language.
That's from Candy Pardee and
Candy.
The ASBA.
Okay.
So, the only modifications that I made were to change it to the committee, and Candy said if that's what we preferred, that was fine. I went in and made those adjustments. So I just believe it's when the days are donated from employees, I think the employees need to have them.
It's not something you ever want to have to contemplate anyway,
no.
But...
Well, honestly, I mean, if somebody's going to put in for this, it's got to be something that's serious.
Right.
It's not because I had the sniffles and wanted to take 3 days off so I could get an extra day.
Yeah, they have a cruise lined up or something. Yeah, for sure.
That's important.
Yeah, I know it is. It's got to be freezer. Just drive fast at night. You might get one.
I got a 10-point that way.
Did you?
Actually, it ran into me.
The last time we discussed it, we kind of went into this more detail during the last meeting.
Right. I presented this at the staff meeting, and I hadn't made the adjustments or changes to the committee. I told them that's what I wanted to do, but I hadn't made it. After that meeting, I went back and made the adjustments, and then I handed back out the new policy to the staff, and they didn't hear anything back. So I'm assuming that when the people read it, that I had made all the corrections that they... Because that was my intent when we put it in. That's why I presented it the way I did last time. Because I don't think it's good that we have one person making that decision. Especially if it were just all our days or the school's days or my days. That's one thing. But
do you have any questions or
nope.
You okay to move?
Yep.
Anybody want to make a motion?
Yeah, where we at? I would like to make a motion to approve item B under action items.
Second the motion.
Almost is making the motion.
Yeah. Base a second.
Aye.
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 Item C. presentation of hours or time worked and approval of salaries or amounts of paid for work that was done but not yet approved by the board to document to the state that the pay was given and approved by the NACO school board to avoid misuse of public funds. We will need to approve the following people an amount of pay. Yvonne Torres worked as a TOSA for the 18-19 school year, helping with Azella and Asmerit, testing, student discipline, classroom walkthroughs, and ordering curriculum. For this work, she was paid $20,000. Wow. Yariela Borquez for working as school secretary during summer school and to cover summer vacations for our secretary. Yariela was paid $1,144.73 for this work that is yet to be approved because it was not brought to the board for pre-approval. Victor Valdez worked on many different projects to clean, reorganize, and restore shed classroom breakout areas. He also helped fill in to reorganize cover vacation by the custodial staff, help ensure the cleaning would be completed because of the shortened time frame with summer school added. Victor was paid $750 for this work over the summer. To tell you the truth, this is where this can of worms happened right here. Yvonne Torres, I feel a little uncomfortable about this because technically Yvonne Torres worked for 8 months without a contract whatsoever. And I was unfortunate enough to uncover that. And that's where it started unraveling last year. And because of that, and I was the whistleblower on that, and my persistence, I found that she, in fact, did not have a contract whatsoever. And so why are we doing this now whenever she had no contract?
The reason that it's here for you to approve is because when we had our CASA meeting, the county superintendent and all the superintendents, along with their legal, it came to note that, as we've been talking about kind of throughout the night, that there are schools right now that are being charged with misappropriation of funds. And the school board and the superintendent and the business manager are all in the same boat rowing together. And if we do not have an approval on record, the misappropriation of funds still goes to those five individuals. And so, you know, the board could try to prove ignorance in the situation, but as you are getting all of the vouchers and the financial reports each month, at some point in time, someone would have come across the fact that this person was there, and I don't remember them being paid, but you must remember last year, you were in the middle of a changing of board members, two board members on, two left. Okay, you had a new interim superintendent, you had a new business manager, you had all of this other stuff going on. And I don't want to say whose fault it was. It doesn't make any difference. Right now, to protect the district, we need to approve the appropriation of those three amounts. I guess like we said one of the first days when I was with you guys when we had our retreat, I can't worry about what, who did what and how it happened. This is something legally we need to fix. And I understand there are difficult feelings about it, but we've spent a ton of money on legal and other help to try to dig ourselves out of the issues that we already have. I don't want to spend any more legal money. I mean, at $400 an hour, it's crazy, the amount of money that they make. I don't want to see us end up with a misappropriation of funds with the state, and now we've got to go out and get more legal help.
Well, here's the other thing, Tim. Yvonne Torres also was overpaid over $3,000 that she was supposed to pay back. And to be honest, I filed a claim with Heinfeld and Meech, and I did make a report that Mr. Morado had, in fact, hired Yvonne Torres and paid her without approval of the board to cover our butts already. And so they're well aware of what happened, and they know that the person who was responsible was Mr. Morado. Unfortunately, I ended up being the whipping post, and this affected a lot of relationships that I have, and I am not okay with that. So I'm not going to approve that. It's too late.
That was just, in my opinion, that was just a simple mistake because there was a There wasn't a contract, but her name was on the agenda.
Because you weren't on the board at that time, so you're not familiar with.
But I am familiar because we discussed this many times.
Because you weren't on the board, so you weren't privy to a lot of the confidential information.
It was a mistake.
And it was not a mistake. Mr. Morrow acknowledged that to me. You weren't
Mr.
here.
Mr. Macklin, that we just need to get this over with.
Well, and I'm just trying. I always have told you. I will tell you what I think, and it's totally up to you as a board how you go with it. I'm just telling you that we need to make sure that the school and that the school and the funds are protected.
Well, that's the same thing with the other. With the J over here on the top, Ms. Borges and Mr. Valdez, we're trying to protect ourselves. We have to protect ourselves down here, too, because if it hits us, it's going to hit us bad.
But see, I'm telling you that I reported it to Heinfeld and Meach that
yes, but we have to
red flag it.
We still have to approve of it because it has to be on record that we, now that you reported it, which means they know what's going on, but we still have to approve it because of the audit. That if we get audit on this, it's going to hit us either way.
And
if we don't approve,
my whole point is, and I know that there's a topic about the fact that she received $3,000 or whatever the exact amount is. I don't know. I just know it was
she was overpaid
in that area. But when I look at it, at $400 an hour for an attorney,
right?
$800 for 2 hours, and how many hours? And then we're paying them $800 to drive. So say if we have to have a hearing in Phoenix, now Candy is our attorney.
Right.
We're paying Candy 4 hours to drive to Phoenix, 4 hours to drive back to Phoenix.
Right.
You know how legislative hearings are. You don't get anything done in less than 2 hours, or you make your presentation, then you've got to go back. So, I mean, we're talking 10, 12, 15 hours. That's not even counting your preparation time at $400 an hour.
It's going to be more.
Well, I just want to clarify, too, that
right.
This had nothing to do with Ms. Horton. And so she can't be attached to this whatsoever. This had nothing to do with her, this amount here.
Well,
and
this is just, ultimately, I am presenting this to protect the district, and that's the whole rationale for it. Again, you guys can choose to go whichever route you want. You can make
it doesn't make a difference. The money has been paid, right? So
the money
it doesn't make
money
a difference.
Money is gone. I don't see, I don't believe that we're going to get it back.
Yeah.
Where you didn't approve the top, but you are going to approve the bottom. So that's going to be another issue right there.
And you,
thank you.
I mean, each of you is your own individual person, and you have to vote with what you feel. That's why you're on the board. I'm bringing this to you, and if you want, you could separate the two. If that would make people feel better that I can vote for this person or these two people, but I can't vote for that one, and you can vote on them separately. I just presented it together because it was the same ball of wax to me.
Well, here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to, as a matter of record, I'm willing to go along with this with the admission in the record that this had been reported to Heinfeld and Meach already by myself and that it has yet to be dealt with because that's going to be our audit this year. That this was specifically and only Mr. Morales' mishandling. And so I just want that to
be
a matter of record.
Going into specific individuals as little as I can, if we put that down and said, motion by Don Walker with the acknowledgement
of administration being responsible, period.
Well, I would say reporting to the auditors
misconduct
of
a person working without a contract for 8 months.
Of possible misconduct.
Right. For the prior administration.
Okay, so I'll read that back.
Okay.
And I want to make sure that we're legal.
Okay,
so it says, motion by Don Walker with the acknowledgement of possible misconduct. I think it should state in the salary of one of the above individuals.
Right.
I would like to make another comment to that.
Sure.
That it was a mistake.
But you weren't here, so you can't say it was a mistake. He was not a part of the board, Mr. Macklin. He cannot make a statement like that because he was not a part of the board at that time.
I looked at the agendas before.
You were part of it, but you should not have been a part of that.
We had multiple discussions about this, and I looked at those agendas.
But you weren't on the board, so you shouldn't be able to make a statement like that because he wasn't a part of the board.
But I looked at those agendas.
But you should not have had access to it.
I don't think it's fair that we're going to pretty much throw somebody under the bus that's not even here.
Well, he was on the bus.
Well, the thing is that that's why we're not mentioning names.
Right.
You know, we're just not mentioning.
Implied.
We know who we are. We know who they are, but we're not mentioning names.
But it was our prior board that was involved.
Okay, well, I respect your comment. Can you please respect mine?
How about this?
Let me
say this, and you tell me if this will work.
This is personal to me because this caused me living hell.
How about if it's phrased this way? Motion by Don Walker with acknowledgement of possible misconduct or serious mistake on the salary of one of the above individuals.
And you should probably put in that there's an overpayment also. You don't mind.
Well, I think that would be the
misconduct
that you report.
Okay.
Is that something that people can live with? That all right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you repeat it one more time, please?
I will, as soon as I get done typing in. Remember the first meeting I told you I type very slowly. All right.
You should know by now.
Motion by Don Walker with the acknowledgement of possible misconduct or serious mistake on the salary of one of the above individuals. Seconded by.
Are you opposed to making the addition of that person working without a contract? Because that was the infraction.
Well,
there was no contract approved by the board.
I think that'll be best if you feel like that. How about if I say possible reported misconduct?
Yes.
Because that's in there and then
that's true.
And then with the
and I know the person that I reported it to, and that's
right.
Fine.
So you're making that motion?
I'm waiting for him to do the language.
Okay, motion by Don Walker with the acknowledgement of possible reported misconduct or serious mistake on the salary of one of the above individuals.
I second the motion.
Ayes.
Aye.
Aye.
Who's second?
Me.
Reese.
Coleman.
Okay. Was it 2-1 or 3-0? I'm sorry, I was typing.
3-0,
okay, all right.
Item D, presentation for the approval of time work between 8 to 14 hours per person over the Thanksgiving break to complete projects that we did not have the time for when we are doing regular jobs day in and day out. Prepared professionals are to be with students or supervising things like recess on school days. The projects include 3 or 4...
Bulletin boards,
getting caught up and hopefully ahead of making copies for classrooms, taking down Halloween and Thanksgiving projects from the walls, decorating the doors with materials and teachers have, doing some shredding of papers from materials that can be and should be shredded, help organize a couple of filing cabinets for our SPED area, make sure that our current files are in one locked filing cabinet and files for students who have moved on in another locked filing cabinet, as well as finding which files are outdated and those we need for contact for former students and or families to let them know that we can have their files or we will destroy them for data privacy reasons. Those working Blanca Acuna, Oviedo, Valdez, Victor, Marita Oliveras, each person working will be paid for their approved hourly rate.
And this was what I sent out in one of my updates. I didn't hear back from anybody that it was an issue I wanted. I would like to have approved before we did it, but again, I'm asking for approval and forgiveness if there was anybody. But I never heard anything back that we shouldn't do it, so I assumed that we were okay.
I'm going to move. If you have another language, do you have any questions? Anybody?
Around how many hours did they work?
Each one was different. Ms. Oliveras worked a little over one day. The others, Victor and Blanca worked, I think, 2 full days. Ms. Oviedo worked a little over a day and a half. I don't have the exact hours. Donna would have that, but I wrote this last
So you
Monday.
Said Blanca was a day and a half?
Blanco was 2 days.
2 days.
Diego got sick on Tuesday, so she was a little over a day and a half.
1.5, okay.
Valdez, too. Maritza came in the afternoon of the first day and worked a little over a day.
And that's at their regular rate as a teaching?
Regular
so
rate
far.
As a para.
Okay.
Yep.
And paraprofessional.
Right.
Okay. Do you have anything further?
Just have one comment. I'll talk to you on in private of one portion of this, but I think that we need to come up with a solution with the board and the superintendent. We either have to approve that these employees are going to get paid for work that they are going to be doing, because that is what was expected on with the previous superintendent. Either that, or trust the superintendent that these people are going to work and bring it up to the board later.
So what do you mean by Friday?
Okay.
You're going to discuss this Friday?
The thing is, like, uh-huh. With the previous superintendent, we were double dipping. That's what we were doing. Because they were already clocked in, and they wanted to pay them double for one thing that they were doing. They wanted because
not that was a testing thing.
It was a double dipping that we wanted to do and stuff like that. Now, the thing is, like, we really need to quit bringing previous administration.
To bring them, I'm sorry, I can't hear
you. To bring them every time back. We need to stop doing that. And the reason why, because every time we get into the subject, you can feel the tension in this room. And thank God there's only two people in the public, because if there would have been more, I really, really think this would have been a really nasty meeting.
So a solution to that, in my opinion, is two things. We either need to trust the superintendent that and have these people work and later bring it up to the board, which I think is, to me, is that's fair. Or don't have them work yet, bring it up to the board for approval, and then they can work.
Okay. So the second option
what was expected of the superintendent, and I think uh-huh. that it is not yes. fair for that person that's no longer here that we're making an exemption
yes.
for Mr.
And Mayor. And then the previous administration, you were one of the ones that was always agreeing to pay them afterwards.
That's true.
You were always the
which
one.
Which is why I say that
okay.
to me, that's
so
fair. Yes.
Let's be fair. You want to be fair? Let's be fair.
So
this happened during Thanksgiving.
So how about,
it was something
how about
that had
on,
to be done.
On our next board meeting, we can have that as an agenda item. That you're going to go ahead and have these people work. What is something like that?
Personally, I would rather have you pre-approve it. Mm-hmm. I, at the time of the November meeting, I had asked three times because I had people talk to me about maybe some projects and whatever, and some people wanting to know if we had work. And I had asked three times, and I had like one or two things. I didn't know what we were going to have. I still should have put it on the agenda. I didn't. I realized it the next day. I think it was in the update I sent you right after the meeting, like that Friday or something. I think I put in there that there were some odd jobs that we were going to try to do over Thanksgiving. And if anybody had an issue, to let me know. But that's how it should be, is I should get your pre-approval report.
Well,
sometimes
it's difficult because
yes.
we meet once a month.
Right.
And in order to do something like that, that means we have to do special meetings throughout the month. So
well, that's why in my updates, if there's something that we should, that I think we should do, I would send an update to you and I would say, let me know if you do not approve of this. That's not taking a vote, but that's if I don't hear anything from all three members, my assumption is it's okay that we mm-hmm. go ahead and do that, and you'll approve it when we come to the next meeting. But if Ms. Romero isn't in favor of it, she'll text me back or email me back on a separate email, or you will email
yeah.
me back, or Don will, and then I know. And if anybody's not in favor of it, I'm not going to move forward with it until after we have a meeting.
Yeah. We got to be careful with that too, to make sure that we're not violating open meeting law.
No, that's why we don't reply back. All I'm doing is trying to get a temperature. Is this something that's okay or not? Mm-hmm. If anybody has an issue with it, I expect that you will let me know one on one, and it can be a phone call, text, or email. But if I know that there's a question or I'm not really sure about it, then we won't do it.
Okay.
And that's why I'll try always communicate ahead of time. But it should be done ahead of time, Mr. Almost, and you are right there, and that's on me, because because I didn't but think much of the very next
okay,
day.
So we're now in the month of December. This is the first time that it has happened. When the previous administration, it was every single month there was something coming back that we had to pay less because, you know, there was something going in the back that he did or whatever happened. That's why I'm saying that it's the previous administration that did this, not because the previous administration didn't do that. We shouldn't do that anymore.
This was on me.
Yes, but you know what? It's fine, and you were taking blame for it when the previous administration didn't even take blame for it. So that's what I'm saying. We need to stop bringing that previous administration every single time because it just creates a really bad
feeling
around it. And I understand that, yes, sometimes it's hard to get approval and it's like last minute thing, which is fine. I mean, to be honest, if you send us those emails, it's a lot better for me than having special meetings. I have 2 jobs, 3 kids. My kids are old, but I still have to be there for them. It's really hard for me to do everything at once, which I agree. It's fine. This happens. It was last minute. It was clean up. We do have to clean up. We have to, you know, get the school ready for another session, another holiday, or whatever you want to call it. And if there's people and teachers that are willing to do it, just send us an email and say, you know what, this. They're planning on not volunteering, but they're willing to help. Does anybody have anything? At least we have a heads up on it, and now we know what's going on.
Well, and these were hourly employees, and the people that get hurt on vacations when they're not vacation days are the hourly employees. Yeah. The teachers are salaried, so they get the same pay.
And these are paraprofessionals, right?
They're all paraprofessionals, yeah. So, but I will do a better job of getting that stuff.
Well, in defense of Mr. Macklin, I have to say that there has been better communication skills with the board, and his transparency definitely exists, you know. And it's not like a bunch of gray areas that we're all lost in this. And so I do appreciate the fact that you've really gone to great lengths to communicate well and bring us into the loop rather than, by the back door. I appreciate that.
Well, I apologize today, too, because you guys did not get your agendas until today. They were basically ready to go out. Yeah, I had everything done. I think Don had everything printed by last Tuesday. But I thought they were all put together, and we were sending them home to you yesterday. And it did. This morning, we...
Well, that being said, last year, we didn't get agendas at all until we came to meetings.
I want you to have it well ahead of time, so you don't have, like tonight when you had to page through and look at everything, that's all on me, because when I left it and I asked somebody to put it together, again, I thought it was taken care of. They left to go drive a bus and didn't get all finished, and you guys didn't get your packets, so.
Thank you for the apology. Anyway, do we have any further on that motion, that item?
Nope.
Do we want to make a motion, please?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to approve item B under action items.
I'm sorry.
Romero seconds. Ayes?
Aye.
That concludes our action items. Thank goodness. Item 5, the superintendent's report.
All right. I have a couple of things that are not on the report that I gave you, so I'm going to go through those first, and then I'll hit everything that's on the report I gave you. Tonight, before you leave, I have I got a couple of different emails, and we were dinged on our audit, so I need to go through the conflict of interest forms with you guys before you head out afterwards. We possibly have 2 of the 3 of you that may need to just fill that out, and I'll go through it and explain why our auditor consultant said that we should do that. The second thing is the sheriff's office will be coming in every month or month and a half. We're working, depending upon the topic that they're going to come in and speak to, it could go all the way down to the young kids. This first topic will be December 17th. We're going to be covering bullying. I can't remember the sheriff that's coming in. He's a deputy in charge of the community outreach. And he is going to be coming in, and his topic that day will be bullying, and he will be talking to the 6th, 7th, and 8th grade kids. It'll take about half the day to get through that. And he may be able to, he didn't really want to present everything as is to the 4th and 5th grade kids. But I'd like to get something for that middle elementary level too, to get ahead of it so kids understand. I will say, I don't see any wood, let's fake wood, knock on wood, it has been going much better. I think when we clamp down, we have a number of students on contracts. And after we had our last meeting and we talked about all that stuff, it has been going better. A lot of those kids, they have not been back in my office. Only one of them has been back in since they were placed on a contract.
So your disciplines have kind of dropped down considerably, or are you still doing
those? Those kids that were frequent flyers that were in all the time,
really?
Doing lots of things, they have not been back to visit me, which is good. I told them they can say hi to me outside.
None of them dropped out, though?
No, none of them have dropped out. They're still all here. So, all right, rest of my report. After looking into the policies for a sick bank, which I brought to you and talked to you about, I did speak with the staff, and we did a verbal vote, show of hands, and a strong majority was not in favor of putting in language for a sick bank at this time. The other thing is, of putting in a sick bank, you really want to do it at the start of the year anyway. So if I told them we could revisit that if there was a change of heart of people, but I think we only had about 5 or 6 people that were interested in a sick leave bank. I think the policy that we approved does what we want it to do and gives everybody a chance to, you know, give if there's a necessity. We've been working very closely with Heinfield and Reach, changing the processes, fixing policies, as far as what's, you know, happening in the business area, tweaking some different things, making sure we follow all the state guidelines. They've been in and done some training with Donna. They're going to be back. After a long conversation the other day, I think it's going to be probably at least a couple more visits with them on site before we have everything corrected for the Auditor General, and we have everything aligned for the cap. And I want to have them here to help go through and do the audit, because I don't remember who said it, one of the board, one of the board members said it, but when they come in and do an audit, it's just a per chance they grab this file, that file, and kind of go through and this bill and that bill and double check as everything's done right. So like all our personnel files right now are, I think, did we get the last I-94?
I-94s are all gone now.
Okay, so I think we have one E-Verify left to finish here. Okay. So otherwise, well, every one of our employees, this file is correct and up to date. So that's good, and a good improvement on that. Our reconciliations and things like that are close to done. The due date we have with the State Auditor General is December 6th, which is Friday, or Saturday. I know it was supposed to be a Friday, but then it's December 6th. Each time they come out here, it's going to be, if it's one day or 2 days, of between $1,500 and $3,000. So obviously went into the wrong business. I don't honestly see any way around it. We will not surpass when they come out. We haven't tapped into that $5,000 yet. So when we tap into that, bring that to the board. We have that approval to do that. We won't spend, you know, $5,000 in 1 month. But our goal is to try to have all the IRS stuff taken care of and to have this cap pretty much in line before January 1st if we can. And then hopefully they accept everything that we've put in. They're going to get back to us sometime this week, hopefully. And if they accept it, then we will be online for them to come out and do an on-site audit in 2 months. And then they'll go through everything with a fine-tooth comb. So we need to make sure we're right. The book fair is this week. We'll actually have the books until next Monday, but it'll be set up through Friday. So if you know anybody or great Christmas presents, things like that. And we did have most of the kids go through there today and do a wish list. So I don't know if all of them got in there. But we're trying to get them to do a wish list and take it home to their parents. So when parents come in, they know what the kids want. The school board has state school board association meetings December 17th to the 19th. As of right now, Ms. Romero will be attending with myself. It's in Scottsdale, and if anything changes with the with you other two and you are able to go, let me know as soon as you can so that I can make sure that we would have.
I think Mr. Almost, you kind of verified that you cannot. Is that fine?
Yeah, I can, because.
And so did you put my money, the 25, down?
I did not put it down they said I didn't have to.
Be okay. Well, things lighten up. I would like to be able to go.
We can actually sign you up for it, and it'd be easier to sign you up than Mr. Almost because we have one room for Ms. Romero, and putting Ms. Romero with Mr. Almost probably wouldn't be great. So putting you with Ms. Romero would probably work out okay. all I need to know, but with that, I also need to post it. If two of you go, I need to post it because we'd have.
Okay.
So that's the only thing. So I will not post that meeting, even though it's been mentioned in two different board meetings. I will not post that meeting unless we have a majority of board members going. I have that item on there about the CASA superintendent meetings. I've already told you guys all that, so we're good. The Christmas program is set for December 19th. It's going to be at 6 o'clock. I was told that we start at 6, but tell everybody we start at 5:30. All I can say is if you want a chair, you might want to come at 5:30 or earlier.
The parking is crazy.
It's a K-8 presentation, so there will be a lot of families. And that will be the same day we come back from the state convention. So we will be back in time for you to get a chair.
What time do we get?
That is done at 1 o'clock on that day. We leave.
6:01.
Is when it starts the Christmas program?
It starts at 6, but he was saying, get here at 5:30. Because of parking.
So, but it's going to be, we've got a couple of different middle school groups that are going to perform, and then all of the elementaries, and then we're going to do a big group caroling at the end.
Aww.
So everybody's involved.
So is there dancing involved?
There's
like
a few
used
different
to be
dancers, dancing groups, yep. There's a, I don't want to spoil it, all the surprises, but there's a Feliz Navidad, Merengue,
Merengue? Merengue?
I don't know. That could be it. I don't know. Two
words
to start with an M. I'm not a dance person, but it reminds me of a fruit, like a mango. So
merengue.
Okay. Anyway,
mango tango.
That one, and then junior high has one group that's doing a dance. I can't remember the song they're dancing. It'll be a little variety. The guitar class is going to perform. It should be good. We're going to get together. Our first practice will be next week sometime. We'll get everybody in there and go through it. And our goal is 60. I told them 60 to 80 minutes. It's going to be between 60 and 70, I think, if it all works out right. So that is about right, just a little bit over an hour. Because once we get everybody in that gym, it's going to be toasty.
Yeah.
So. The only other thing I would ask you to think about when we set the next meeting date is if we could look at doing it January 14th, not the 7th, just because getting everything out and posted, if we do it on the 7th, I'll be here on the 2nd and 3rd, but I want to make sure we have all the stuff out to you in plenty of time.
Usually at the beginning of the year we do that anyway, because there's just too much kind of accumulating and racking up for that first week, so... Oh yeah, it's going to be 2020, yikes.
I know. I can't believe it's Christmas or December already. So if that's all right with you when you set the date, you're asking for a preference, we would prefer the 14th.
And that next meeting, I want to try to add somebody to our volunteer list, too.
Okay,
if good.
If you give me the names.
Okay. I just have one, so.
Okay.
I thought about him, too, because he's really good at doing sets. He helped with that program that I was involved in a couple months ago. And that he just wants to read under Jewel or somebody like that.
Okay. So we'll set...
The 14th.
Sounds
that's
good.
Okay with
that's 5:15.
Okay.
Yes.
What are we looking at right there, Linda? Is it 656, and Ms. Morgan, which one you can
see? 652.
652, we ready to conclude? Ready to undo, friend? Okay, so at 6:52, I'd like to make a motion to conclude our meeting.
Second the motion.
Mr. Merrill, seconds. Aye.
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 Okay. All right.
Good job.
I give credit to Mr. Almos.
My Ms. Morgan, we won't see you. Have a good holiday.
Thank you.
Just one for each of you guys. It's just a thing that